Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel Perek Kaf, Chapter 20. Perek 20 begins with an auspicious date, the 10th of Av, 7 years into Galut Yehoyachin, 7 years into Tzidkiah's rule, about 2 years until the start of the siege, and 4 years to the day before the Chorban. Yecheskel is visited in this parak again by a group of Zakenim, of elders. This is the third time that the Zakenim have come to Yecheskel. The first was in chapter 8, where Yecheskel got his vision of Yerushalayim. The second is in chapter 14, where Yecheskel exposed the hypocrisy of the Zakenim. And our parak begins in a similar vein to parak 14. The Zakenim come to seek out Nevuah and instead are reprimanded for their behavior. Yecheskel says to them, Halidroshati atzem ba'im? Are you coming to inquire of Nevuah of me? Chai Hashem, imedrosh lachem, ne'uma Hashem. I should inquire of you, meaning you are doing something wrong. Again, like last time, at first we have no idea what the Zakenim are doing wrong. Unlike last time, it will be a little while in this parak until we find out. Instead of speaking about this answer, Yecheskel launches into a history of Am Yisrael, starting with Yitziat Mitzrayim. Actually, even before Yitziat Mitzrayim, starting with their experience in Mitzrayim, their origin story, in a sense. For the next 24 or so psukim, Yecheskel is now going to tell the history of Am Yisrael. And he starts in psukim hei through tet with the story of Mitzrayim. He starts with Hashem revealing himself to Bnei Yisrael while they are in Egypt. In pasuk hei, Hashem says, V'esa yadai lahem lemor, ani Hashem elokechem. I reached out my hand to you. I revealed to you who I am. I am Hashem, your God. Bayom hahu, on that day, says verse 6, Nasati yadai lahem, lotiam me'eretz Yisrael, al eretz asher tarti lahem, zvat chalav u'devash, tzvihi, l'chol ha'aretzot. I reached out my hand to them. I told them what my goal was. I'm taking you to the most beautiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It is the best land of all the lands. We would hope that at this point, the Jews would all turn to Hashem. But that's not what happens in the story that Yecheskel tells. Instead, in Mitzrayim, they stick to their idols and they won't let go of them. This is the version of the story that comes out in the Midrash, in Vayikra Rabbah, where it says, when I took you out, goy mikarev goy, nation from a nation, really, you were not really different from the Egyptians. You were almost not identifiable. This is the story that we get from the Midrash that tells us that Bnei Israel were on the 50th level of Tumah, and had Hashem left them in Mitzrayim just a little bit more, they would have never been able to rise out of it. This isn't really the story that we get from the Psukim, but there are some hints to this telling of the story that Bnei Israel, in this telling of Mitzrayim, don't deserve to leave at all. Hashem takes them out not because they deserve it, but only in Pasuk Tet, Va'as Laman Shmi. I do it for my own name, so that there won't be a Chel Hashem. Levilti Hachel Le'enei Agayim Asher Hema B'tocham. That the nation, that you won't, my name won't be profaned among the nations. Then we move on to the Jews in the Midbar, the travels. And we begin with the first generation, the Dor Rishon, to leave Mitzrayim. This is where Hashem teaches them specific laws, Asher Ya'aseh Utam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem, the laws that Hashem gives you, that you should live by them. And specifically, Hashem teaches them the laws of Shabbos, Gamet Shabtotai Natan Lahem, Liot Ot Beinia Beinehem. I gave them this precious gift of Shabbos that is going to be a sign between me and between them, Ladad Ki Ani Hashem Mekadsham, to know that I am Hashem who makes them holy. Now, we've had that concept of knowing Hashem over and over in Yecheskel, and this is a way that they could know Hashem, v'yadatem ki ani Hashem, but in a very positive way through the mitzvah of Shabbos. This law in particular was taught separately and will be a mitzvah that over and over will bind Bnei Israel and Hashem together. Unlike the slaves of Egypt, they are now educated. They got the Torah. They know what it means to follow in the laws of Hashem. However, instead of following Hashem in the Midbar, they once again spur his laws. Prayim redubi, says Yecheskel in Pasuk Yud Gimel. They rebelled against me, Bamidbar. B'chukotai lo halachu, they didn't follow in my statutes. Mishpatai ma'asu, they spurned my laws. Asher yoseh otam ha'adam b'chai b'hem, the ones that are so good for them, the ones that make them live a good life. V'chaptotai chilalu ma'od, they desecrated my Shabbos. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm done with these people. I'm going to pour out my anger and I am going to destroy them here in the Midbar. This Dor Midbar tests Hashem, doesn't believe in him. They even do Avodah Zarah, this Chid Ha'egel, according to some commentators, straight out Avodah Zarah. They specifically do the sins that break the Shabbos with going out to gather man on Shabbos and the sin of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the one who chops wood on Shabbos. At this point, again, they deserve to be destroyed. But again, Hashem doesn't destroy them, even though they deserve it. And Hashem says again, Selaman Shmi, I don't destroy them for my own name, that there won't be a Chil Hashem, not because of them. Pasuk 18 then turns, we're going through the history, to the second generation. Not the one who left Mitzrayim, but their children. Hashem warns them too, keep my laws, keep my Shabbos, b'chukotai lechu, go in my ways, v'et mishpatai shemaru, keep my mitzvot, et shabtotai kadeshu, keep my Shabbos. Again, the children don't listen. And again, Hashem just wants to end everything in the Midbar with the second generation. And he doesn't. And now the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael. And not only are they not better, but they're actually worse. Instead of just rejecting the laws of Hashem and not keeping Shabbos, they turn to outright Avodah Zarah. Pasuk Kavchet, Vavieim el ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi latet ota lahem. I brought them to that land, that one that I stretched my hand out to give it to them. V'yir'u ki gav'a rama v'kol etz avut v'yizbechu sham et zivcheyem v'yitznu sham ka'as korbanam v'yisimu sham reach nichocheyem v'yisachu sham et niskeyem. Literally in every single place in the land, they do their idolatry. They find any hill to do it. They find every tree. They make it on every altar. That's where they bring their korbanot to these other gods, that land that I told them about in Egypt. With this, Pasuk 29 launches us into the present after this long history and this disturbing history. Suddenly we are back in Yechezkel's house facing the Zakenim. Yechezkel has told them a story, their history, how they were actually bad from the start. They were saved by Hashem over and over, not for their own deeds, but because of Hashem's unilateral decisions. Now Yechezkel looks at the Zakenim. And finally, we're going to find out what the problem is, why Yechezkel started off so harsh towards them in the beginning. You came to ask me for nevuah. I should be the one asking you to explain yourselves. And he says to them in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, Uvaseit matnot nechem ba'avir banechem ba'ish. When you offer your gifts, when you pass your sons through fire, when you pollute yourselves with idolatry every single day, va'ani adrosh lachem be'it Yisrael, and you want to come and ask me for nevuah? Chai Hashem, Neum Hashem, imedrosh lachem. Of course I would never give you nevuah. Were these Zakenim actually idol worshippers? Did they actually sacrifice their children to Molech? In Parak 14, Yechezkel says that there was idolatry in Babel and the leaders were involved. And the Malbim here takes the opinion that yes, they actually still worship Molech, these very leaders. He quotes Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, who writes that in even in Rambam's day, there were elements of Molech worship present even to his time, where women would hold their children over coals and fire. And yes, says the Malbim, these Zakenim were Molech worshippers. They would actually sacrifice their children to the Molech. They were doing right now the exact same sins that were getting Bnei Israel currently kicked out of Israel. So what did the Ziknei Yisrael want to ask Yechezkel? Why are they here? We don't really know, but Yechezkel does tell us what's actually in their heart. And he also tells us why he launched into this whole history. And he says to them in Pasuk Lamed Bet, Ha'olet al ruchachem, what came to your minds, hayo lo tiyeh, will never happen. And what is this that came to their minds? What did they really think? Asher atem orim, niyeh kegoyim, let's be like the nations, k'mishpachot ha'aratot, like those families of the lands, l'sharet etz ve'evin, let's just give it all up and let's worship stone and tree. Perhaps this isn't what they wanted to say. Maybe they weren't obviously going to come to Yechezkel and say, we're done. Or maybe it was. Maybe it was just going through their minds. But Yechezkel calls them out on what they're really thinking. They're thinking, let's just give the whole thing up. Our history is so fraught. Now we're in exile. Let's just be like the other nations. Niyeh kegoyim. Let's worship idols. Let's give up the idea of Hashem. Let's become like everyone else. And this is why Yechezkel had to tell the history. Your ancestors have had this same thought generation after generation, starting from the very beginning. Let's just be like everyone else. Let's just serve many gods. Let's not be different. Let's not stand out. And says Yechezkel, it's not going to work. It only causes pain and suffering. The situation that you're in is not unique. Their wandering and exiles were not random. They were the results of these very sins that you are still doing. Hashem wants you to keep the mitzvot. V'chai b'hem. Because it's good. It helps you live a good life. He wanted us to keep Shabbos. It's an OT, b'niu b'nehem. It brings you closer to Hashem. You should live by its concepts. And we just keep not doing it. And now it's time for the next exile. It's coming. It's one more in a line of Hashem responses to their bad behavior, to their breaking of the brit. V'hayo lo tiyeh. It will not happen. Hashem will not switch you for another nation. And you also can't switch him for many gods. Yechezkel uses the imagery of Mitzrayim to explain what's coming up next in Pasuk Lama Gimel. Now we're in our second part, the present and the future. Biyad chazaka uvizro nituya. Hashem is going to stretch out his hand to you, but not in salvation, rather in rulership. This technique of using this inverse symbolism, taking the symbols of Yetziat Mitzrayim and using them to describe Hashem taking Jews into Galut, is a powerful technique used by Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu. Here Yechezkel wants to remind the people that going into Galut now is also part of their ongoing story with Hashem. It's a reaction to their deeds, and Hashem is the one who's taking them there. It is purposeful. They are not losing their connection with Hashem any more than they did when he took them out of Mitzrayim. And now, says Yechezkel in Lamed Hey 35, Heveti etchem al midbar ha'amim. I'm bringing you to a new desert, the desert of the nations. Nishbati etchem sham panim al panim, and I will judge you there, face to face. In this new galut, in this midbar amim, this desert of the nations, they will be judged. But the way that they will be judged is panim al panim, face to face. The phrase that describes how Moshe spoke to Hashem directly, with no intermediary. Now that they will not have Eretz Yisrael or the Beit HaMikdash, there's no intermediary anymore. There's no korbanot between them and Hashem. And in a way, their judgments can be closer. Maybe now they can reform. It is in this galut, in this Midbar Amim, that Hashem will recreate his original brit with the Jewish people. It is in the galut that itself will become a grounds for a new relationship. This time, however, says Yechezkel, there will be a winnowing process. Only the people who are worthy, who also accept Hashem, who want to go back to Israel, will go. Yechezkel paints a final picture of Har Bayit, filled with the renewed smell of the service in the Beit HaMikdash. No more will you profane my holy space, says Yechezkel. He calls the final call to the Zakenim who sit in front of him, the ones who want to be Kechol HaGoyim, like all the other nation. Go ahead, continue worshiping your idols. But know that those of you who cling to your idolatry, you will not return. There will be no idolatry again in the Beit HaMikdash. But those that do come will experience in Pasuk Mem Aleph, verse 41, Bereach nichoach erzedchem, bahutzeti etchem min ha'amim, vikibatzi etchem min ha'aretzot asher nifutz tambam, v'niktashi bachem le'inei ha'goyim. You are going to be wanted when I bring you back from all of these nations, and I'll gather you together from all of the lands that you were spread out there, and I will make you holy again in the eyes of the nations. Pasuk Mem Bet 42, V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, you will know that I am Hashem, v'havi'i etchem el admat Yisrael, el ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi, latet ota la'avotechem. When I bring you back to that land that I had originally stretched my hand out to you to give to your fathers, this final V'yadatem ki ani Hashem will not come with punishment, but with redemption. Yechezkel's harsh vision and difficult understanding of Bnei Israel's history is different than what we know of the story from the Chumash. But telling the story in this way, emphasizing not Bnei Israel's merits, but Hashem's unilateral decision over and over not to destroy them, to save them, and once again redeem them, Yechezkel's perhaps emphasizing the unbreakable bond between Hashem and Bnei Israel. All of those salvations weren't even because you were worthy. And therefore, even if you're not worthy, again, Hashem will always save you. This message is appropriate for the Zakenim who sit before him and are ready to give up. It's too hard to follow Hashem. It's too hard to be different than the other nations. Yechezkel's message is, you can't give up. First of all, it won't work. And second of all, you can't choose a life that's not true. By portraying the history in the way that he does, Yechezkel sees his own place in the history as part of a long journey of trying to become better. And even if they're not at the end, Hashem will never desert them. We'll always take them back. I'd like to end with a thought by Rav Soloveitchik from Kol Dodi Dofeik, where the Rav talks about the covenants of fate and the covenants of destiny. Part of the covenant of fate is having a shared history. Being born a Jew, the Rav writes, quote, the consciousness of shared historical circumstances results in the experience of shared suffering. The feeling of sympathy is a fundamental feature of the consciousness of the unifying fate of the Jewish people. By going through the shared history and shared suffering of the Jewish people, perhaps Yechezkel is urging his community to join also the covenant of destiny, to join the Jewish people, not because you have to, but also because you want to. This way, they can merit to be part of the community that ultimately returns to the land to build a new and just society. Thank you for learning together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avram. She is a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.